Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Traps. There's all different kinds of traps. There's lots of different kinds of traps. There's bird traps, there's fish traps, there's silent traps, there are hidden traps. Traps, by their very nature, are meant to surprise the victim so as to entangle them in the trap. Now, in the gospel reading today, we're told that the Pharisees' disciples joined with the Herodians in an attempt to trap Jesus with this talk of whether or not it was right to pay taxes. They wanted to entangle Jesus in his words. Words. Like a person wanting to trap an animal. In fact, the Greek word used here to entangle, this is the only time the Greek word is used in the text of Scripture. Outside of the text of Scripture, this particular Greek word is used in relationship to hunting. It has to do with wanting to catch prey. And that's what these guys wanted to do with Jesus. They wanted to catch Jesus like prey, so that, like hunters, they could destroy him. What they wanted to do was render Jesus ineffective. If they could do that in the eyes of the people, then they felt that they would be free to destroy him, to kill him, without fear of the people rising up against them. So, using this talk of taxes, they thought they had had the perfect trap in order to catch Jesus. You also have to understand about the Herodians. They were civil and religious traitors as far as the Pharisees were concerned. That's why they're called Herodians. They followed after Herod. So they were considered traitors. So the cause that would bring these two together had to be extraordinary. And that cause is they wanted to entangle Jesus, according to what we read. The text tells us, Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." This last part is important. When they heard it, they marveled. And then they left him and went away. It says that Jesus knew their evil intent, the evil in their heart. These Pharisees and Herodians, like all people, including you and I, if we're honest, want God to be on the fringes of life. They wanted God in Jesus Christ to be ineffective in their own lives. Oh, we like Jesus. We just want him to stay in his place. We don't want him messing in our lives. But what these Pharisees and Herodians and we will learn is that Jesus paid the tax, the death tax, owed by all people for sin. It's really stunning in this text because it says that they marveled at Jesus' wisdom. However, what was their reaction to being marvelized by Jesus? They walked away. They walked away. Jesus marvelized them, and then they refused to let that teach them anything. Oh, I guess it taught them one thing, maybe, and that is to try and trap this man was much harder than they thought it was going to be. Jesus was much more clever than they had given him credit for. And they paid for it with their own embarrassment. And yet the fact that Jesus surprised them by getting out of their trap rather than stopping them in their tracks and pondering instead what they could learn from him, they instead simply left him. Now, how true is that today as well? How much do we want God in Jesus Christ to really, really play a central role in our lives? Not very much, very oftentimes, if we're being truly honest. So let me ask you, how do we try and trap God? Well, one thing we do is we put him in the Sunday or the Wednesday box. We only want God when we come to worship. And even then, we want to keep him from truly being God in our lives. We want him like this one author described it. He wrote this: "I would like to buy $5 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love the outcasts or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack, please. I would like to buy $5 worth of God." That's us too. Oh, we want only enough of God to be more or less a security blanket for us, but not really to impact our day-to-day lives. $5 worth of God sounds good to us. We think that might be just enough God to hide the evil in our hearts, even from ourselves. But like he knew in the text today with the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians, Jesus knows the evil in our hearts. And he also knows, because we harbor evil inside, he knows the debt of sin that we owe. And he knows we like to keep him sidelined, that we too want him ineffective in changing us or shaking up our lives. In fact, we want more than that, don't we? Besides wanting to keep God at arm's length, we also want credit for the good things that we do. We think we've done some pretty good stuff. We've done some pretty good stuff for God, so God should be grateful to us. We really don't want the credit going to God for our good works. That's another way, by the way, that we try and trap God. We forget that Jesus paid the tax, the death tax, owed by all people for sin. We try to keep him hidden. We try to keep him kind of tucked away. We try and put on a good face so that others see us as a good Christian. How is that any different than the Pharisees? They also thought quite a lot of how good they were at keeping up the appearance of goodness. But today, in the gospel lesson, Jesus exposes their evil ways, and in so doing, he also exposes us as well, and the evil that hides in our own lives. It's sort of like the reverse of this guy. This guy was known as Reverend Bob Schuller, and in the first part of last century, people knew him as Fighting Bob. And he stumbled on a very creative and very successful fundraising technique. In his weekly broadcast one Sunday afternoon in 1926, he said, "I know a businessman who listens to this broadcast who has a terrible secret. If he does not give $100 to this broadcast next week, I will go on the air next Tuesday evening and share his secret." That week was the biggest week for donations in the history of this broadcast. Are you surprised? This Fighting Bob guy was trying to use the fear of God as his own ATM of sorts. Of course, Bob didn't know any terrible secrets. But God does. God knows all our secrets. Just as Jesus knew the secrets in the hearts of those confronting him today, so he knows the secrets of our hearts. Like they tried to trap Jesus, we find it is we who are trapped. Indeed, we are trapped by the secret sins and vices that we try to hide from ourselves and from God. But like the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians, also, we also have been marvelized by God. And we, like they, want to walk away from this God who knows us so well. But the real surprise comes later. When, in fact, Jesus did have their trap sprung on him, like we talked about with the kids. Jesus allowed them to trap him on the cross. Yes, Jesus had amazed them by his wisdom and perception. And Jesus, knowing the evil in their hearts, knew that there was only one way for that evil to be cleansed. Jesus paid the tax, the death tax, owed by all people for sin. He paid for all sin, secret or not. This debt of sin is what Jesus paid for them trying to trap him with their clever words. In unspringing the trap today, Jesus marvelized them with the wisdom of his words. It was by his words and his actions that Jesus, God's only Son, paid with his life the debt he did not owe. He paid the death tax for all people by his reckless grace. And that grace is what cost him his life on the cross and restored him to life in his resurrection over death. That same grace is what he invited the Pharisees and Herodians to buy into with his words. He wanted them to know his love for them. Jesus displayed his omniscience by knowing what was in their hearts and responding to what they needed. Jesus paid the tax, the death tax, owed by all people for sin. They were given the opportunity to discover that grace of God given to them for their sin. The trap was sprung by Jesus so they could be allowed to be free of the debt that they owed. Dr. James Simpson discovered the miracle of chloroform in 1847. And in so doing, he spared people pain when undergoing surgery. Today, it would be terrifying to think about going under surgery without, if we were still conscious. Some years after the discovery, Simpson was lecturing at the University of Edinburgh when a student asked him this question. What do you consider to be the most important discovery of your life? They were surprised when he replied, "My most valuable discovery was when I discovered that I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ was my Savior." What Dr. Simpson discovered is what is true for us. We are surprised to be saved by God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. We now know, we know that Jesus paid the tax, the death tax owed by all people for sin. Isn't it wonderful that God is in the forgiveness business and not the broadcasting industry like Fighting Bob? We've had the death tax paid for us. The surprise is the trap, like I said with the kids, is now toothless for us by God's grace to us. What Jesus did, he did for us. Now we owe God nothing for the sins we commit. In fact, we cannot pay for them. That's because the debt is paid in full. Surprise! Jesus had the trap sprung on him for you and for me. What Jesus did, we get the credit for. We get the credit of Jesus' righteousness as our own. We leave here tonight debt-free. We leave here tonight debt-free in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words